Last Sunday, we've learned loving our closest neighbors because our base scripture is coming from Romans chapter 13, verse 8, 9, 10, loving our neighbors as ourselves. That closest to our neighbor would be our spouses. Is it easy? Absolutely not. As I said before, keeping the marriage vow which we recite at the wedding ceremony is next to impossible to keep it without God's help. Today we are going to learn about the role of godly wives. And some of you ladies thinking, I knew there was a reason why I should not come to church today. You're here because it's a divine appointment with God. God has something special for you, and He expects you to learn and obey. By the way, here is some advice I gather up from other wives for you. Let's go over one at a time. First, don't imagine you can change man unless he is in diaper. Second thing is, never let the man's mind wander. It's too little to be out alone. It's something ladies would say, right? Guys, bear with me. We have something for you, ladies. Third thing is, woman, don't make a fool of men. Most of them do it yourself types. Fourth, best way to get the man to do something is suggest that he's too old for it. Fifth, love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Sixth, children of Israel wander around in the desert for 40 years. Even in the biblical time, men wouldn't ask for the directions, so don't expect your husband would do that. Seventh, if he asks what sort of books you are interested in, tell him checkbook. Eighth, remember the sense of humor doesn't mean that you tell him a joke, but it means that you laugh at his joke. So as husband, we have something for you ladies. First, ask for what you want, and let it be clear on this one. Subtle hint don't work, strong hint don't work, and obvious hint don't work, just say it. So don't give us a hint, just say it like it is. Second thing, anything we said a month ago inadmissible in an argument, in fact, all comments by the husband may become null and void after 3 days. So ladies, don't bring it back up. Third, if we ask what's wrong and you say nothing, but it's not just not any nothing, nothing, then you know you are in trouble, right? And when you say nothing, we will act like nothing is wrong. We know you are lying, but it's not just not worth the hassle. Fourth, when we have to go somewhere, absolutely anything you wear is fine, really. Have you ever seen the commercial and a wife come out and said, well, how do I look? And the guy said, fine. She said, I knew it. And then she go back in to change. Fifth, don't ask us what we are thinking about unless you are prepared to discuss such a topic as baseball, shotgun formation in the football, or monster truck. Sixth, lastly, you have enough clothes. Please, so don't tell me that you have absolutely nothing to wear in front of your clothes. Seriously, ever since Promise Keeper movement happened around 1980s, seems like it's been going on, it's an in thing for the Bible teachers and pastors and marriage counselors to bombard husband as some sort of insensitive idiot. And yeah, we deserve that treatment time to time. No, actually, more often. But if you have noticed, even the commercials on TV, the movies, or TV sitcoms, they treat husband as some sort of fumbling idiot. But they portray wife, mother, as faultless and sinless human. So I'm asking you, ladies, any of you are perfect? Raise your hand, please. Are you perfect? Can I ask Mark about that? And do you do everything according to Bible? If you're not, then here's something God has for you. Let's hear what the Lord has for us. We'll start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, in light of a vicious attack against the sanctity of marriage, the way you instituted from the beginning, we need your guidance, wisdom, and protection for the believer's marriage around the world, especially in America. Make your truth clearly known to us that we follow you with the complete obedience and willingness in our heart, that you alone receive honor and praise through our lives. And we also pray for our President Bush, who protect us for the last 7.5 years since 9/11. And he's been getting a lot of negative response from the people, just about everybody. Give him wisdom and diligence and obedience to you, that he may do everything according to your will. And we also pray for the President-elect Obama's salvation, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as truly as Lord and Savior, not lip service. And we also pray for the Israel is invading the Gaza, occupied by Hamas, the terrorist. We're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them, and they are your people, O Lord. You promise that you will never take your hands away from Israel. You watch over them. Let this battle against Hamas be victorious, so you alone receive glory. And we also pray for our troops around the world, and where they are in harm's way. And we also pray for our border patrols and the sheriff department and sorry, the police department, and all the personnel, uniformed personnel, such as the firefighters around this community. We are asking you to protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter is right before 2 Peter. Very good. Mark is so smart. Somebody have to say it, right? Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, way in the back of the New Testament. It reads, wives, likewise, be submissive, underline, double underline, circle, and highlight, put the arrow down there. Be submissive to your own husband, and even if some do not obey the word, in other words, they are not Christians, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Nowadays, this word, that submission, is a 10-letter cuss word to a lot of contemporary women. One time, I was doing this wedding, and you know how the wedding vows, that the bride and groom, they repeat, and I said, I will submit to you. And I looked at the bride, and she's supposed to repeat after that. She looked at me like, I'm not repeating this, so submit to you. And she finally, because of other people, she repeated. I thought, oh, that's hard. Anyway, seems like it's not a thing that modern woman supposed to follow. However, we read in the Bible as God's instruction for wife to be submissive to their husband. It's consistent in three different epistles. Okay, guys, don't use your elbow to let your wife know that she's supposed to be submissive because your turn is coming up. Let's go, keep your finger there. Ephesians chapter 5. Turn to the left. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. 5:22. Are you there yet? Wives, what does it say? Submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husband in everything. Does it say in some occasions? No, in everything. Go to Colossians, turn to right, skip the Philippians, and go to Colossians chapter 3. So far, two epistles, both says submit. Colossians 3:18, it says, wives, and what? Submit to your own husband as fitting in the Lord. What is the reason the Bible tells wives to be submissive? It goes all the way back to the Genesis, the first wedding, first marriage of humankind. God created Adam first and then Eve. According to 1 Timothy 2:11 through 14 and Genesis 3:16, Eve intentionally reversed the chain of command. She tried to take hold of the control. Let's go to Genesis 3:16. Genesis 3:16. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And you may say, what is the problem with that? No, Adam knew better. He should not take the fruit, forbidden fruit, but he didn't say anything because at this point she was in charge. Okay, now turn all the way back to the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. First and Second Thessalonians, 1 and Second Timothy, so 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. All the way back. 2 Timothy 2:11. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission, and I do not permit woman to teach or to have authority over a man. This is the reason why in Calvary Chapel we do not allow the woman to be the pastor, because it's in the Bible. But to be in silence, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Ladies and gentlemen, from the beginning stage of the sin, it was a matter of a take control issue. Since then, the struggle between husband and wives has been going on. Whenever there's a struggle, the argument between husband and wife, guess what? It's a matter of a control. Ladies, do you remember the time when your daddies walked you down the aisle to your bridegroom? That we find it in the first book, again, back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2, verse 21. And some of you are thinking, if you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, is it necessary for us to go back and forth like this? Yeah, it is necessary because I might lie to you. I want you to check the scripture with me, okay? Genesis 2:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God has taken from the man, he made into woman, and he brought her to the man. That's walking down the aisle. It was a transition of authority. It was transition of authority and responsibility from God to Adam, handing Eve to Adam to take care of her. When the father of bride walked his daughter down the aisle, as God did, and to Adam and Eve, by doing so, the father is endorsing the man of her choice as his. Okay? As a matter of fact, some of you ladies received the invitation. By the way, I'm going to make it very clear. We open it up to all the ladies so nobody feel like you've been left out. You don't have to be at my daughter's bridal shower just because she is a pastor's daughter. It's not a mandatory, but we are opening to everybody. Just that's beside the note. It's a transition of authority and responsibility. And does it mean that man is better than woman? Absolutely not. Bible never states anywhere man is better than woman. However, it says that we in God's eyes, we are in equal in God's love for us. However, he is putting the more responsibility to man because he has a seniority. That's how he designed it. Man has more responsibility than woman. I ask you to underline as to the Lord. And I'm sorry, I didn't ask you to underline. And in everything, in Ephesians 5, 22 and 24, we read, that as unto the Lord, when you submit to the Lord, you should do it in the same manner you do it unto the Lord. In every situation. God expects us to be obedient to him everything completely with a cheerful heart. And that's what God expects you ladies to your husband. Okay. Some of you ladies thinking, what if I'm married to an idiot? And you don't want to say it, please don't say it aloud, okay? For the sake of your husband, you're sitting next to you. What if I'm married to an idiot? And I realize that we do dumb things. Husbands do dumb things. But did you ever think that you're marrying to an idiot when you're walking down the aisle? When you're dating him? No, you thought you were marrying to Prince Charming, right? What happened? Now all of a sudden you see him, true nature of him, without that ooey-gooey fog in front of your eyes called, you know, honeymoon. To your surprise, your husband is thinking same thing. He's thinking, what happened to her? I woke up and here is this woman who is not the same woman I dated. Well, join the club. It's happening to everyone. If you have to compete, you ladies have to compete with your husband to get the things done inside of house, outside of house, wherever, probably you ladies can get it done a whole lot better than your husband. Hands down. I'm the first one to admit it. But does it mean you can't treat him like an unwelcomed in-laws in your home? No. Absolutely not. The willing submission commands still remains in the Word. It comes from the Word of God. Even though you are married to an idiotic, insensitive, lazy bum. I can be one of them. It is not a matter of what the man can do or cannot do. Rather, it is a matter of your obedience to your God's Word. And your husband is not accountable what you do with the Word of God, but you do. Okay? You are accountable for what you do with the Word of God you hear today and you when you read these portions of the Bible. Let me make a picture, word picture for you. Naturally, wife needs a love from her husband. Let me put that word, love, as an air for wife. That love, she had to breathe that word, that air, which is love, through her air tank. He's the one who is providing that. And husband, as you need love from your air tank, husband need respect. It's in his air tank. Are you with me? Okay? But being insensitive that he is, he come to you and stand in front of you, but he's stepping on your air hose that connect to the air tank called love. And he's being an insensitive person looking for peanut to eat and not caring about you being suffocated because you couldn't breathe, because you don't have love coming from him. So what do? You get upset, so you pull out your beautiful thorn and poke a hole under his air hose and deplete his emotional shield, respect. He's perishing, and you are perishing. Folks, that's a typical argument sin in the at home. Ladies, you are not getting love from your husband, so you deplete his respect. Listen to me carefully. Whenever, wherever you read about what husband and wife are supposed to do in the Bible, we find husband, love your wives. But you never find wives, love your wives. Love your husband. Why? Because you ladies know how to love your husband already. That's how your maker made you. But your husband needs respect from you, whether he deserves it or not. Whether he deserves it or not. You treat him like, as I said before, unwelcome the person, he will find respect from somewhere else, from something else, work or something else. Some of you are thinking, how can I respect him when he does nothing right? That doesn't matter. You're respecting him for the sake of being your husband. Ladies, please be careful how you talk to your husband, especially in front of others and in your children. He's not your child, and sometimes he may act a whole lot different than your child, but still you should not talk down to him. Okay, let me repeat one more time. You should not talk down to your husband. If you do, you are removing his only emotional shield that we call respect from him. And if you do that, he will come back to you with an ugly comment or simply withdraw. Depends on personality. Some introverted person will simply withdraw and don't talk to you. Now, what does it mean? When the person, if a husband come back to you with an ugly comment or simply withdraw, ladies, you think that is a hostility against you. So you change your tactic from the talking down to what? Nagging. And you're thinking, okay, you went too far. No, let me put it this way. Bible says, Proverbs 27:15 says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Nagging is a problem. I'm going to read this to you. You can see it from the slide. J. Allen Peterson, who does the Christian Family Seminar, syndrome of nagging is in this manner. Nagging is basically a woman's weapon used against a man in her marriage. Recurrent irritation of nagging is designed to get the wife what she wants. When her husband surrendered out of desperation, he secretly hated himself for doing it and then set his feet a little more so that the next time around she had to nag more than she did before to accomplish the same purpose. And the state of affairs continues until finally a woman has formed the habit of nagging and nagging to get what she wants. She really achieved her selfish purpose at the expense of her marriage. Let's go back to the scripture to get what God wants us, you to have, ladies. 1 Peter chapter 3 again. First Peter chapter 3. Ladies, are you following? I don't get a whole lot of response. Ladies, are you following? Okay, good. Guys, don't gloat over because it's coming for you guys. Verse 1, chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, then even if some do not obey the word. That's including the non-believers. They, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, then and when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Don't try to change your husband the way you want, but rather pray to God to change him the way he wants. Guess what? God knows better than you. And when God changes your husband, he is far better than what you can expect. Okay? Here's the five basic rules for the communication. I'm going to give you tips, ladies. Number one, never repeat the things for your husband shares with you privately to anyone else. Keep it to yourself. Because if you share that and to your mother or to your friend, to your sister or so on, and that's going to come back haunt you, your relationship with your husband. Second thing is, give your husband total, the undivided attention and listen with interest while he's become more comfortable in expressing himself. Remember, it may not be easy for him. That is so true. Guy's not good at expressing himself. Thirdly, do not interrupt him or jump to the conclusion about what he's saying. Fourthly, acknowledge that you understand even if you disagree and repeat his thoughts and feelings back to him so that he is sure you understand. Do not let your disagreement sound like a disapproval, but make it more like a suggestion. Let him think that it's his idea. As a matter of fact, the whole teaching is my wife's idea. So if you don't like it, go talk to her. Just kidding. Fifth, when you are sharing your thoughts, be careful never to sound as if you are heaping blame on him. I didn't put it there. Remember, it takes a two to tango. Okay? If there's something to go blame, it takes both. When either of you goes onto the defensive, your communication goes too, and the rapport must be reestablished. So let's talk about something difficult here. When it comes to forgive and forget, you might say, no way, you have no idea what he has done to me. You're absolutely right. I don't, and I don't want to know. That's between you and your husband. But please think this way with me. How would you like God to treat you that way or forgive you that way? Forgive your sin the same way you treat your husband. Many times, his goofs and the faults. Extend your mercy to your husband as much as you want mercy from God. Okay? Forgive him only as much as you want to be forgiven by God. Do not put your husband's fault and mistake and shortcoming into your permanent memory. Ladies, this is very important. Don't bring it back up over and over and over. If he asks you to forgiveness with a sincere heart. One husband said this, whenever my wife and I argue, she doesn't become hysterical, she becomes historical. Ladies, you should not bring that. Whatever happened, once you forgive him, you need to move on. Please do not bring back what happened before as God does to you and forgive and forget. And Mark chapter 11, please. Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, 25. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. In light of this, I have to say a couple of things. Very important thing. Please pay attention to me. Please. If any of you ladies are the victim of domestic violence, you need to get to the safety for yourself and for your children. find a shelter where you can find the safety. If you cannot find a shelter, give us a call. 256-6688. That's our church phone number. We will do whatever we can within our power to help you. Of course, everything will be handled with confidentiality. Some of you may think that how can you say that this? After all, this is church. There is no wife beater. There's nobody as a believers of Jesus Christ beating their wives. If you are thinking that, you are very naive. I have come across some of the believers who are beating their wife. For those husbands, if you're one of them, you got to be ashamed of yourself. Pick on your own size. I know, I'm going to say this thing, they're probably out of line, but I would say this anyway. If you need a sparring partner, come see me anytime. I'll take you. Second thing, if your husband cheated on you, yes, you have a biblical ground to divorce him. That's an option. I said that's an option. It does not, Bible does not say you should divorce him, period. That's an option. Some people cannot handle it. If he truly repented and God told you to take him back and you are willing to work with him, God bless you. I've seen marriages going back together, and I had the privilege of marrying them back together. It can be done. However, if that's the case, if you, ladies, wives, if you forgive your husband who cheated on you, do not remind him about what he's done in your future conversation for something else. Okay? Don't bring it back. God can bring the joy and peace from your past difficulties. And God can heal that marriage. If things didn't work out, you still need to forgive him. As a believer of Jesus Christ, forgiveness is mandatory, and you can move on. Let's go back to the 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Are you with me, ladies? You don't like it, what you heard so far? Don't blame me. Talk to the author. Verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden persons of the heart, and with, number 1, incorruptible beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trust in God also adorned themselves, and being submissive to, number 2, being submissive to their own husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. It's extremely important for you ladies to understand your inner beauty outlasts outer beauties. I've seen some women who only concerned about outer beauties that perish. But inner beauty is far more important. And you may ask, how can you increase your inner beauty? By following the Word of God and having deeper relationship with Jesus our Savior. Number 1, as we read, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Number 2 is being submissive to their own husband. There's no fancy secret. Simple as 1-2 in the Bible. Some ask me that if it's right for the Christian to wear Christian woman to wear makeup. I like what late Dr. J. Bunny McGee said. If the barn needs a paint, paint the barn. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to just move on, okay, so before I get in trouble. The Bible is so straightforward, sometimes it's awkward and uncomfortable for me to say this, to teach this kind of thing, but it is necessary for me to say it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You there yet? Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but her husband does. And likewise, husband does not have authority over his own, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with the consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. Come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Ladies, please do not use sex to fight back against your husband to make your point. Okay? If you do, you are the one who is allowing your husband to be tempted by the Satan and his cohort. I don't think I need to explain. Let's make an application. It's number one. Remember that your husband does not read your mind. Please communicate to him clearly with what? Respect. Number two. Instead of nagging at your husband to do what you want him to do, encourage him to do the things you want with respect for him. Okay, encourage him. Let him think that it's his idea to get that thing done. Thirdly, do not use sex as your leverage to get what you want. Fourthly, respect your husband so that you can win his heart for God's glory. Whether he deserved the respect or not, you do it to obey God. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. It's not easy to follow what you just told us for the ladies, because we have this pride. We have this selfishness. But we know that your word is true. You give a wisdom and obedient heart to our ladies, and the husband, the willing heart to serve their wives. So you alone receive glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.